Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour editorial review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on miracle foods, cures from the Bible, when we come back. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance. Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft, and someone who knew neither the press nor John Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. Well, Swinton outraged his colleagues by replying that there's no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. Now, you know it, and I know it. And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with. And others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. Now, if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. Now, you know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting of an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes, he said, and we're the jumping jacks, and they pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Well, John Swinton made that observation back in 1880. These rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program, the movers and shakers behind the New World Order, the men and families like the Windsors and Rockefellers, the Bushes and Bundys and Carnegies and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend that it's time that we wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, and let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about this Global 2000 Bible prophecy and the New World Order, why don't you call and order my 4-hour compact disc package? It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, and best of all, it's free of charge. You can call right now to order yours. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Or call direct, 417-273-4967. Modern medicine, allopathic medicine, came upon us beginning about 1900. It's older than that. It goes back thousands of years. It comes from the Babylonian mystery religion. In Africa, they use witch doctors, and they perform these miraculous rites. And in the Bible, it's called witchcraft, and it's called brewing up the witch's brew, where you take various components of herbs and spices and maybe some frog's legs and maybe some insects, and maybe you take some dog dung or cow dung or something like that, and you mix it up and you put this into a potion. You can rub it on, you can smell it and sniff it and drink it and eat it, and you can just ingest it in all kinds of different ways. And it's got some real merit to it, there's no doubt about that, because your body is made up of chemicals, the salts and the dust of the earth. And sometimes when your body gets out of whack, it has to have certain components. Maybe it needs calcium, or maybe your body is overwhelmed by bacteria, and maybe it needs some mold or fungus, you know, like penicillin, that might kill those and give your immune system an opportunity to recoup and throw out those bad germs or viruses, etc. Now, in the Bible, there are 32 herbs that are mentioned. Now, there's more than 32 herbs out here. In fact, I was in the health food store just the other day, and I counted 150 herbs that they were selling behind the counter. They had a special bin back there, and they were selling bulk herbs. And there was 12 in each line by 14 deep, and there was a few missing holes, and I added them all up, and I came up to 150. So I took a look at that, and I said, gee, think of that, 100 and 50 different herbs. There's probably 200 or 300 different herbs out there, but here's just one health food store selling 150, and each one of these herbs has certain qualities or certain properties. It has oil that no other herb has, or it may have vitamins or minerals. It may have amino acids or enzymes in it that no other herb or no other food, no other meat, no other substance may have available in it. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I took you through rare earths with Joel Wallach, and he identified 90 elements, 90 nutritional minerals, vitamins, and amino acids that we all have to maintain robust health. When we're missing one or more of those vitamins, minerals, or amino acids, we develop symptoms. Sometimes those symptoms we hang a label on. We copyright these symptoms and we call it multiple sclerosis or celiac sprue disease. Or, you know, we can call it obesity or candida or vaginitis. And what we do is we go out and we copyright and patent the drugs. We copyright the name, like cancer. Then we patent a drug. And then we go out and we sell it for commercial gain. Pharmaceutical companies do that. And as far as you and I are concerned, what difference does it make to us who makes the profit as long as our cancer is cured or our heart disease is ameliorated or some disease that we're afraid of is prevented? In the Smithsonian Magazine for May of 2004, there's an article called Medicine from the Sea. Let me read to you a couple of paragraphs. You've probably read these same two or three paragraphs 100 times in your life. Probably. Listen to this. Fred Rainey was standing aboard the 100-foot Spree about 7 miles off the marshy Louisiana coast, rocking on 4-foot swells. All around were oil rig platforms, and they rose like skyscrapers from the heaving waters of the Gulf of Mexico's oil patch. The oil patch, a 64,000-square-mile stretch of shallow ocean where 4,000 steel platforms pump enough oil to account for 1/3 of the nation's overall production. But Rainey was not prospecting for oil. A microbiologist at Louisiana State University, Rainey was on the trail of an unlikely quarry, slime. That's right, he was looking for slime. In particular, he sought algae, sponges, sea urchins, soft corals, and other squishy, mostly immobile organisms that have attached to the oil platform's undersides in a tangled mat up to a foot and a half thick. Now, scientists believe that from such lowly marine creatures, a number of medications may one day be derived. Compounds from marine sources are now being tested as treatments for chronic pain, asthma, and various malignancies, including breast cancer, a new generation of industrial chemicals as well, particularly powerful adhesives, are on the horizon. Slime, though, as it turns out, is absolutely brilliant at producing these useful biochemicals. Now, botanists and chemists have long prospected in tropical forests and other terrestrial ecosystems for unusual substances to meet our human needs. But the world's oceans, which may contain as many as 2 million as yet undiscovered species, have remained largely untapped. Denizens of exotic, difficult-to-reach locations, such as deep-sea hot vents and seabed sediments, have hardly been documented. However, as advances in diving technology open new underwater realms of exploration and developments in molecular biology and genetics allows labs to isolate molecules at a pace that was totally unimaginable just a decade ago, the sea's potential as a biochemical resource is becoming more apparent. Over the past 30 years, scientists have extracted at least 20,000 new biochemical substances from marine creatures. Dozens have reached clinical trials, and a handful may soon be revived by the FDA for possible approval. Because we humans live on land, that's where we've always looked. Well, William Finical, director of the Center for Marine Biology and Biomedicine at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography in La Jolla, California, said that if you were to ask, where would we look, starting from scratch, where should we explore? Well, the answer should always be the sea. Now we're there. Now, it's quite an article, but you've read that statement or that story, maybe in different words, 100 times over your lifetime. Promises from the ocean, promises from the rainforests of the Amazon or the Belgian Congo, of new miracle cures that'll cure our diseases like cancer. I mentioned to you the other day, I said, they've been looking for a cure to cancer now since 1971 when President Nixon opened up a WPA program for PhDs called the War on Cancer. There hasn't been a cure for cancer come out of that program. And there won't be because the money is in research, not in cures. Now, there's a different source if you're looking for cures, and that is from the medicines that come from revelation. Now, remember, the allopathic medicine that we use today in America comes from experimentation. It's the experimental. It's the scientific process. Remember, 20,000 different biochemicals, biological agents have been discovered just in the last 10 years from these sea creatures. 20,000. Now, what combinations of those biochemicals might work into a cure for cancer? Well, I pointed out that when they found vitamin B17 back in the Mayo Clinic in New York, oh, shucks, many 20, 30 years ago, they suppressed it. It actually cures cancer. It's one of the 10 cures to cancer. They suppressed it because it's a cheap source. You mean you're just going to eat apricot pits? I mean, come on, guys. We want to patent this stuff, and we want to sell it for buku bucks. We don't want something that's simple that's available to everybody. It's got to be something that can be patented, something that's very difficult to manufacture, something that the average Sally six-pack or Joe six-pack or Sally soccer mom can't produce cheaply oven by themselves. Well, in the Bible are literally dozens of these cheap, inexpensive cures to disease. I say dozens. You know, there may only be two or three dozen, but that's pretty significant. And a fellow by the name of Rhys Dubin, spelled R-E-E-S-E-D-U-B-I-N, Rhys Dubin, wrote a book called Miracle Food Cures from the Bible. Food cures. Joel Wallach pointed out that disease comes from two sources, toxic poisoning or nutritional deficiencies. Well, you've probably heard that if you get scurvy, the solution is very simple. Scurvy is caused by vitamin C deficiency, and so you develop a symptom. You know, an unpleasant symptom. Maybe your eyes water, your nose runs, you cough, and maybe you're weak, and maybe you break out into a sweat. And so somebody comes along, you know, from the medical community, and they say, oh my God, this guy's got the flu. And so then we go to Hoffman LaRoche, and we get a vaccine, or we get a syringe full of biochemicals over here, and we shoot it up. Now that's the scientific methodology, where you experiment by putting these things together and then shoot them into laboratory rats, and then you move up to monkeys, then you move up to human experiments, and then one day you get pretty confident and you put it out on the market, you know, like Vioxx. Then you find out it's killing too many people, and there's billions of dollars worth of lawsuits, and thousands of people have been killed or died because of the use of this drug, and this is the allopathic program. Now there's another program that's been around longer than the allopathic program. It actually goes back to the Garden of Eden. We rejected that program because that is predicated upon revelation. Now, revelation is something that you learn from somebody else. It's an example that I gave you a couple, 3 weeks ago. We're talking about the Czech story. And I thought that I knew just about everything there was about Czechs until A.J. Porth invited me into his office and said, would you like me to explain Czechs to you? And I went in there, sat down, listened to him for 3 hours, came out, and I've never been the same since. Now, that's revelation. And that's where that old man with white hair on his head said, hey, you young whippersnapper, you think you know so much. If you'd like, you come in here and I'll tell you the answer to this riddle. Now, I could experiment. I could spend God knows how much time to find out how that works. Well, the Bible is a book of revelation. It's a revelation that comes from our Creator. And he says, now here's what I want you to eat. This is in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. And if you eat this, you won't get sick. Now, if you don't eat this and you eat something else and you do get sick, now there are ways that you can alleviate those symptoms. You can cure that disease. You know, you can prevent it, or you can cure it after it occurs. Now, here in the Western world, we prefer developing the disease first and then curing it second. In the Far East, the Chinese, they hire their doctor to keep them well. So they pay a monthly fee to the doctor. And as long as they're well and they don't have any diseases, they pay the fee. But as soon as the guy comes down with a disease, he stops paying his doctor. He doesn't give him any more money. Now he goes to the doctor and says, now, doc, you screwed up. Now the cure is on you. I tried that one time with a lawyer. I paid this guy $6,000 a year to keep me out of trouble. After I had three lawsuits, I figured out that for $6,000 a year, he couldn't keep me out of trouble. And then for $5,000 a case, he couldn't get me out of trouble either. So I discovered that in the legal field, the lawyer can't keep you out of trouble, and when you get into trouble, he can't get you out of trouble. Well, in Western medicine, we have the same problem. The doctor can't keep you from getting sick, and after you get sick, he can't cure you, which makes me wonder, why do we go back to these guys? At least the Chinese, you know, have their heads on straight. I'll pay the doctor as long as he can advise me and keep me from getting sick. I would like to pay the lawyer to advise me and keep me out of trouble. It'd be well worth my money. But if he can't, well, then of what value is he? And if the doctor can't prevent disease, of what value is this guy? Well, we say, well, once we get disease, then he can cure it. But Western allopathic medicine tells you plainly, we can't cure disease. We don't even know what the hell causes it. Now, the Bible, the book of Revelation, tells you, here's what causes the disease, and here's how to cure it. Here's what causes it, and here's how to cure it. Now, that comes from Revelation. That comes from somebody that's smarter than you are, kind of like my granny and my daddy and my great-granddad. You know, they'd come to me, and they'd say, now, don't you do that, because if you do that, here's the result that's going to come from that. And then, of course, when you're 5, 6, 8 years old, how do they know? They haven't experimented. They haven't tested that now, have they? Well, in many cases, as my dad told me one time, he said, experience, son, is the best teacher there is. There's no teacher like experience. buddy went on and said, it's a god-awful hard way to learn, but you'll never forget it. So when you go out and actually do something and get a bad result from it, you won't forget that, and you won't do that again. I remember we had a little girl here, and she was laying down, and she reached over, and she took a glass of water, and she tried to drink this glass of water laying down. Well, naturally, as she went to drink the water, it poured all over. She jumped up, bowled upright. She's about 3 or 4 years old. She jumped up, bowled upright, and she looked at the mess all over, and she said, Grandma, I won't ever do that again. Now, that's a very intelligent young child, 3, 4 years old. She didn't know that you can't drink water laying down. And so she experimented and found out, yes, it's true. When you try to drink water laying down, it'll spill all over. I imagine that out in space, when they try to go to the bathroom or drink, you know, the common things that we all rely upon gravity to aid us in doing, they find that they have to have a different kind of toilet. They have to have a different kind of bottle to drink out of. They can't sit at the table, you know, because things float around through the cabin. And so they can live out there. They have to experiment and try things out to find out what works. Now, after the guy experiments, he comes back, and now through revelation, he explains to the new astronauts, okay, now here's the way this works. Now, if the new astronaut decides, well, I don't believe you, I think you're lying to me, he can go out there in space and he can experiment. He can reinvent the wheel if he so desires. Now, I'm the kind of guy, I'm not too interested in reinventing the wheel. I kind of like to find the answer to the riddle. Now, you know, in some cases, we need to experiment. If there's nobody to tell us, I guess then we just have to go out and try it and see what happens. But whenever there's an opportunity for me to talk to somebody that maybe has done this before or has had some experience along that line, I like to pick his brain, find out what he knows, so that I can go right out there and do it the first time out, get it right the first time. I make more money that way. On page 40, there's a story about the healing powers of Charoset. Now, Charoset is spelled C-H-A-R-O-S-E-T. Charoset is a combination of finely chopped apples, at least a half an apple per person, mixed with chopped walnuts, to which chopped or mashed raisins, dates, cinnamon, wine, and honey are added. These ingredients, mixed together, contained within this sweet dish, are a curative plant or plant medicines that can relieve heart pain, dissolve and eliminate gallstones and kidney stones, help an underactive thyroid, make skin blemishes, ugly warts, age spots, acne, psoriasis, and herpes disappear. But there's more. A famous feature of this ceremony is called the carpus, in which either of two Bible healing plants, parsley or celery, is dipped into salt water, and one of these plants can help heal hernias, joint pain, diabetes, and urinary disorders. The other is a vegetable medicine that kept a 96-year-old woman free of cataracts and able to read without glasses for nearly 50 years. And it also relieves gout, bursitis, neuritis, and rheumatism. It contains calcium blockers and the other plant chemicals that help prevent and treat irregular heartbeat, help lower blood pressure, and cholesterol. And it does more than that. It's called the miracle in Charoset that relieves heart pain. Charoset. Now remember the ingredients? Chopped apples. Now remember, all of these ingredients are fresh. Oftentimes, people will call here and they'll talk about, well, you were talking about carrot juice, and I went down and I bought 2 cans of V8 carrot juice. Oh, excuse me. Let me point out something that's very important in nutrition, and that is, cancer is called the cooked food disease. Cooked food disease. Now, I'm not advocating that you never eat cooked food, but you need to understand that in all foods, there's a critter, a substance, a thingy in there called an enzyme. And we have these enzymes in our stomach, in our colon, in our saliva. These enzymes are all over the place. I mean, they're all around. But there's different kinds of enzymes. For instance, in raw milk, there's an enzyme that digests and dissolves the fat in the milk. And when you pasteurize the milk, that is, you heat it, you can it, you prepare it, you cook it, you pollute it, you wreck it, you destroy it, you kill the enzyme. And without the enzyme, your body, which is full of enzymes, doesn't have the right enzyme to dissolve the fat. So the fat goes through your stomach lining, it lodges on your artery walls, causes plaque, and we have a label for this. We have a name for this. We have a copyright and a patent for this. It's called atherosclerosis, for which the medical community makes tons of money. Now, that's just one example. But there are hundreds and hundreds of other foods that have different enzymes, different minerals, different vitamins, different amino acids. See, not all foods contain the same vitamins and minerals. And that's why they taste different. Strawberries taste different than blackberries. And Brussels sprouts taste different than a York peppermint patty. And that's because they have different nutritional values in them. Yeah, there's vitamins and minerals and carbohydrates and proteins and all these thingies in here. But there are certain thingies that you have to have in order to prevent something like gout, let's say. Or maybe gallstones. Or let's suppose you've got gallstones. Or maybe you've got kidney stones. Is there any way that we could remove those gallstones or kidney stones from your body painlessly without surgery? And the answer is absolutely. It's called a gallbladder flush, a gallstone flush, or a kidney flush. And, you know, people have known about that for thousands of years. You know, gallstones aren't something that just developed in the last 100 years as a response to allopathic medicine and surgery. Gallstones have been found in mummies, you know, Egyptian mummies, people who died thousands of years ago. They had symptoms like gout and cancer, heart attack, stroke. And you can do an autopsy, you can do a CAT scan on these mummies, and you can find, oh my God, this one had diabetes. So diabetes isn't something new, and thousands of years ago, people that had diabetes had to do something about that. And so they came up with things called folk remedies. Now, my grandmother, she was a folk remedy advocate. She knew what to do. You see, there were people who had pneumonia before penicillin. And there was a treatment for pneumonia before penicillin. Now, allopathic medicine comes along, and it isn't that they don't know what the treatment is for penicillin, for pneumonia outside of penicillin. But listen, they've got penicillin licensed, bonded, insured, copyrighted, and patented. And they're the only guys in the world that can use it. Now, if you had a monopoly like that, why in the hell would you want to be out selling something else? For instance, let's suppose that you own the patent to Coca-Cola. Do you want to go out and sell Pepsi-Cola or Royal Crown Cola or Shasta Cola or Gordon Cola or Sally Six-Pack Cola? No, you want to sell what you've got the patent for. You want to sell your own product. That makes all the economic sense in the world. So don't get mad at the medical doctor because he is selling, you know, cut, burn, and poison. He wants to operate on you and cut out your cancer. It's his business. It's the way he makes his living. Now, you go over to another guy, he's called a naturopath, and he says, oh, you've got cancer, we need to treat that cancer this way. Well, he's got a different program than the allopathic medical doctor, because he can't perform surgery. He can't prescribe these toxic chemicals. He doesn't have the patent on it. He doesn't have the copyright. And because of that, he can't make Coca-Cola, because it's copyrighted and patented. So if you want to use Coca-Cola, then you got to go to the Coca-Cola company and get a license to use their patent. Pharmaceutical companies license other companies to make their product, and they have to pay them a percentage of the profits or a percentage of their sales, whichever. And that's the economy. That's what economics are all about. That's business, trade, commerce, business, and industry. But in the Bible, God isn't selling anything. See? God, your creator, he doesn't have anything for sale. And so, number one, he came along and he said, don't eat pig and don't eat fat, because that's going to plug up your arteries and give you atherosclerosis, which will result in heart attack, stroke, and death. Don't do that. Now, sometimes people do that anyway. And if you do that, is there a solution? Is there something that you could do that would melt that fat out of your arteries? And the answer is, yeah, there is. If you eat too much protein and you get gout, is there some herb? Is there some vitamin, mineral? Is there some enzyme? Is there something that you can eat, something that's cheap and inexpensive that you can do? I mean, you know, outside of cutting your leg off. Is there some other remedy? And the answer to that is, you bet. And that's what the book called Miracle Food Cures from the Bible is all about. About, I don't know, 300-400 pages here. Yeah, 387 pages up to that one right there. Let's see it back at the book. Here we go. Yeah, about 400 and some odd pages with the bibliography and everything. And a very easy reading book. I'm going to rate this one about a 1 in 20. About a 1 in 20. I've read other health books. I've read other books about nutrition from the Bible, but this guy is a good writer, and it's a good story, and it has very simple, practical, everyday guides to what kind of foods you need to eat to attack, to eliminate, to do away with the symptoms that you've got. And it's cheap and easy. Cheap and easy. Now, if you've got money and you've got health insurance, well, you don't need this book. You know, you're all set. You're in Fat City. I had a guy in here the other day. One of my students, his daddy. Called him and said he had cancer. Well, my wife's had cancer for about 28 years, and so she's pretty knowledgeable about cancer. She's been dealing with it through herbs and vitamins and minerals and enzymes, and it's what we call the natural process. And for 28 or 29 years, it's worked pretty well. She's still alive and kicking and doing her thing. And this guy had cancer. And of course, when you get cancer, you know, this is like a death sentence. And so this guy had lung cancer. He was coughing up blood. And so this young man who's a student here, he called my wife and said, well, my dad's got cancer, and I've got to save my dad. People get evangelistic zeal. I mean, his dad's 60 years old, you know, or more. And it seems like to me that old dad over here is more than capable of taking care of himself. After all, he was taking care of himself before this kid was born, wasn't he? But, you know, children are like that, and they've got to save old dad. And so he had dad call up here, and so my wife listened to this guy, and she said, you know, I don't think you've got cancer. I think you've got a prolapsed lung. And so he either went to another doctor or he went back for more tests, and they did some more tests and said, well, you're right, it isn't cancer. But we need to operate anyway. Well, excuse me, boys and girls, but if I went to a mechanic and he said, well, I think that what you've got here, I think what's wrong with your car over here, I think that you've got a stuck valve. And then I said, well, wait a minute, that's pretty pricey. And I go to another mechanic and he says, no, I think you just got a burned out spark plug. And so he replaces the spark plug, you know, for $5. And then my car runs. I don't think I would go back to that first doctor, that first mechanic again. Now, I want to point out Joel Wallach in his book on rare earths. He says 50% of the diagnoses that you receive from allopathic medical doctors, that's the guy that's Joe Baloney, MD. If it says MD after his name, the real smart guy, been to college, 50% of his diagnoses are incorrect. And this is why they keep telling you you should get a second opinion. I think if 50% of the diagnoses are incorrect, I think I'd get 5 or 6 opinions so that I could get 3 that agree. If I could get 3 out of 6 that all agree, probably they're pretty accurate. So he went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, our tests show that you've also got clogged arteries. Hell, anybody 60 years old, been eating the American diet's got clogged arteries. Boys and girls, children 18, 20 years old going into the military, when they get their physicals, have clogged arteries. They've been eating down at McDonald's. They've been eating fat. Their arteries aren't clogged enough to give them a heart attack, but they've got clogged arteries. And your arteries don't cause you a problem until they get clogged up to about, you know, 80%, 70 to 80%. If your arteries are clogged 50%, hell, that's no problem. And the blood still flows through that 50%, doesn't it? All right. So this guy, he went in and had the operation on his lung anyway, even after he found out that, one, he didn't have cancer, and two, there's another solution to this plugged up artery. And my wife and I were talking about that, and we said, well, we think that it's a social status. That I've had this operation, and you know, I've had bypass surgery, or I've had my lung removed, or I've had this or that or something else. I think before I'd have my lung removed, I think I would I'd look for another solution. Of course, that's just me. I remember a lady, she had breast cancer in her family. Her mother and several sisters or aunts and uncles had died of breast cancer, and this woman was just terribly, terribly fearful of getting breast cancer. So she went in and she had a radical mastectomy, even though she didn't have cancer in her breasts, and it worked. It worked. That woman has never gotten breast cancer. Of course, she doesn't have any breasts to get the cancer in. You know, it kind of reminded me that if you were deathly afraid of a brain tumor, if you were to be decapitated, you could eliminate brain tumors. Cut your head off. That'll eliminate brain tumors. I don't know. That's Western mentality for you. Now, you know, I'm not here to criticize people, but I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't cut off my tits to prevent breast cancer. I think that there's a better solution to prevent breast cancer than cutting them off. I don't think I want to cut my head off to prevent brain tumors. I think there's a better way to do that. And furthermore, the Bible reveals that better way. And the guy that wrote the book, Miracle Food Cures from the Bible, Mr. Rhys Dubin. Let me tell you where you can get a copy of the book. Let's see who publishes this thing. Put out by Prentice Hall. Copyright 1999 by Prentice Hall. Miracle Food Cures from the Bible. Rhys Dubin, D-U-B-I-N. And if you just tack onto that Prentice Hall, trot on down to Amazon.com or Books a Million or something like that, I think you'd probably get a copy. I don't know the price again. The wife bought this book the other day and brought it home. I sat down and started reading it. It reads like a novel. You hardly put the book down. Now, I got to give you our friendly reminder here at the midway point, and that is that you are listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week and has a radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed to the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. The endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate by endorsing and recommending the Law Hour and Editorial Review. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be wholly endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We may endorse some of it, but we may not endorse all of it. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, remember our website is at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing a book. Let me give you some specifics in our review. Some specifics. The miracle in Kerasset that relieves heart pain. Back in Jesus' time, walnut trees grew on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. These walnuts contain omega-3 fatty acids. They're mentioned in the Bible in Moffat's translation of the book called Song of Solomon in verse 11 of chapter 6. Now that's Song of Solomon 6, verse 11. It says, "Down I went to the walnut bower to see the green plants of the dale." Well, Solomon's nut garden was a walnut bower. Its fine shade, its fragrant leaves, and delicious fruit made it a favorite. Now, as I said, walnuts contain this omega-3 fatty acid, which have an anti-inflammatory effect similar to powerful drugs, without any of the side effects that those drugs contain, for ailments such as arthritis, rheumatism, and heart disease. Reportedly, an infusion made from the woody partitions inside of the walnut is excellent in cases where the coronary vessels have become hardened, and for cardiac pains and fever. Remove the dividing walls of 4 or 5 walnuts, soak them in water for 1 day or leave them overnight, and then boil them for a few minutes, 20 minutes, the next morning. Drink this tea in the morning on an empty stomach. A world-renowned European herbalist tells us that when taken regularly, it will alleviate the feeling of constriction and pain in the chest. This infusion is also effective in cases of high temperature accompanied by pains in the heart. Some relief is frequently noticed after the first cup. But if the pains continue, the tea should be sipped frequently until they and the fever have disappeared. In 1992, researchers at the Loma Linda University Medical School reported that Seventh-day Adventists who rarely eat nuts suffer heart attacks and coronary deaths at twice the rate of those who routinely ate nuts 5 times a week. Upon closer analysis, it was revealed that eating moderate amounts of walnuts without increasing total dietary fat and calories will decrease your serum cholesterol level and favorably modify the lipoprotein profile in healthy men. These conclusions were based on 2 experimental diets lasting 4 weeks each, in which 30% of calories were derived from fat, a level recommended by the American Medical Association. All right, let's pause here and think for a second. These omega-3 fatty acids are the same fatty acids that you get out of fish, like salmon. Now, vegetarians don't eat meat, so they don't eat fish, and so is there another source where these people can get their omega-3 fatty acids? And the answer is yes, walnuts. Walnuts. Now, here's another little factor. It was the American Medical Association, it was the MDs, who discovered chelation, that is, the herbs that you need that when you take them either intravenously or orally will dissolve the fat plaque in your arteries. Now, the MDs don't recommend this chelation any longer because it's cheap and it's effective. And it cuts into the revenue stream of medical doctors who make their money with bypass surgery, which costs up to $100,000. Now, just as a matter of economics, let's be intelligent people. If you could cure somebody that has clogged arteries for $100,000 by way of surgery, or by $600 by way of chelation, as a medical doctor, which of the 2 viable alternatives would you select or recommend to the patient? If you said chelation, well, congratulations, because you're an honest, moral, righteous, upstanding person whose real concern is the welfare and the benefit of your patient. However, if you said by surgery, congratulations, because you are a typical allopathic medical doctor whose brain is screwed on straight. You're a very intelligent and wise fellow who's interested in the money that you can make off of this credulous, ignorant, dumb patient. It's just a matter of perspective. Now, in the book Rare Earths that I reviewed here a couple, 3 weeks ago by Joel Wallach, his solution was very simple. It's put a mineral block. Go down to your local feed store. Just buy a mineral block. The same kind of mineral block that you put out for your goats and sheep and cows. Put it on the dining room table. And every time a family member walks through the dining room, just lean over, lick it three times, and go about your business. And you could solve about 90% of your diseases that way, probably more. Now, this heart pain over here, you remember this heart pain? If you take a look at a walnut, it's got the meat in there. That's what you eat. But what divides that meat is this membrane. That's what they're talking about here, this membrane. In that membrane, there are either minerals or vitamins or something, probably minerals, because you're going to make a tea out of it. And when you make a tea, you're going to kill the enzymes and destroy the vitamins. So it's probably the minerals that are in that walnut, in that dividing, that woody husk that's so nasty when you get it in your mouth, you know, when you don't get it all off of the meat and you get it in your mouth and kind of makes you want to gag. Well, that's what you want. You take five walnuts, pull those out, and then steep that in tea. You know, boil it. Let it soak for 24 hours or so, and then boil it for 20 minutes, and then drink that tea. And it'll do the same thing. And listen, it's not any different than for scientists to go out here in the Gulf of Mexico and bring in little organisms down there and look for those 20,000 biochemicals in there. All we're dealing with here, boys and girls, in case you thought that I was becoming a religious fanatic, all we're talking about here in the walnut is certain chemicals that are in this portion of the plant. And instead of going to the allopathic medical doctor, who isn't going to recommend this because it's cheap, I mean, hell, you can go down into your local supermarket, for crying out loud, and buy five walnuts. Break them open, take the membranes out of it, soak them for 24 hours, and brew it up into a tea, and accomplish the same thing that $100,000 worth of surgery will do. Now, if you've got insurance and you want to make a social statement to your friends and relatives about your surgery, I remember my grandma had her appendix cut out. She's 68 years old, went in and had her appendix cut out. That gave her a topic of conversation. That gave her something to talk about with her friends and relatives for the rest of her life. She died at about age 87. So for the next 19 years, you know, when Bessie Ballmortal would come over to talk, or Aunt Bessie or somebody, then my grandma could tell them all about her appendectomy and how the doctor, you know, ordered her to do this and told her to do that. It was wonderful. Wonderful. And it was probably very therapeutic and all of that. Personally, and this is just my own personal druthers, I'd just soon hang on to my appendix. I hope that when I die at age 110, that I'm buried with my appendix in its proper place. That's what I'm hoping. Now, there's 100 secured of kidney and gallstones in just 2 days. Now, remember, we're talking about this Charoset, remember? Charoset. In the early 1960s, Chinese doctors reported curing hundreds of patients of all ages of kidney and gallstones using 2 1/4 cups of raw walnut meat deep-fried in pure olive oil. The walnut meat was then ground to a coarse powder and then mixed with 2 1/4 teaspoons of dark honey to form a paste. I'm going to underline that word, dark honey. Dark honey. Now, here's why. Let me pause right here. When you go into the grocery store and you see the display of honey, it's light amber. And it's not an accident that it's light amber, because that's what you housewives want to buy. If we were to put black honey, lighter honey, and then amber honey, and then white honey up here, or white clover honey, you ladies would buy the white clover honey first, the amber honey second, the dark honey third, and the black honey last. In fact, you probably wouldn't even buy that black honey at all, called dark honey. Well, let me tell you what that is. The dark honey is the honey that is filled with all of the minerals, and that's why it's black, because it's full of minerals. And the lighter the honey, the less mineral content it has. Now, if you want to eat food that has no nutritional value in it, then you want to buy the white or the amber, nutritionally deficient honey, so that you can develop chronic disease. It's a choice that you have to make. Now, what I do when I go over and I talk to the bee man, say the bee man, he'll tell me that he's got this beautiful, beautiful white clover honey for $2 a pound. And I say, well, thank you very much. That's very good. What else? Well, and I've got this great bee honey over here. It's amber honey, and it's $1.75 a pound. I said, that's terrific. That's wonderful. What else you got? And he said, well, then I've got the dark honey over here, and it's $1.50 a pound. I said, that's terrific. And what else you got? He says, well, then I've got the bee feed. I've got the dregs. I've got the waste over here. And nobody wants to buy this dark honey, this black honey, this awful-looking stuff over here. So I just feed it back to the bees, this bee food. I say, that's the stuff I want to buy. How much is that? He says, oh, hell, I'll give that to you for $1 a pound. I say, okay, that's what I want to buy. And so he gives me a 5-gallon bucket of this bee food, say the black stuff, that's described here as dark honey, because that's the stuff that's got all the nutritional value in it. Isn't that amazing? We take wheat, and we take all the vitamins and minerals out of it, and you know the bran, until we get white flour, and then we feed that to you in the form of Krispy Kreme donuts, which are then fat fried in hydrogenated vegetable oil, you know, with heavy concentrations of trans fat, which is guaranteed to give you atherosclerosis and heart attack by age 38 or double your money back. Anyway, it's 2 1/4 teaspoons of this dark honey to form a paste. This was then given to each patient for 2 days, at the end of which most stones had partially dissolved and then turned soft and been eliminated. All right. Remember, I asked you the question earlier on. I said, is there any other thing that we could do with gallstones? Now, I remember my first wife had gallstones, and she went to her mother, who was a medical nurse, and she went all the way down to Phoenix, Arizona, to have them operated. It cost $6,000 in 1970. Probably cost $60,000 today, I don't know. $6,000 in 1970. Now, she had her gallbladder removed. Got rid of the gallstones. Oh, she's never had gallstones since. You can't get gallstones without a gallbladder. So she eliminated that problem, like cutting off your breast to eliminate the possibility of getting breast cancer. It'll work every time, no doubt about it. But she can't digest fat without that gallbladder. She can't digest fat. And so she's an invalid. She's been an invalid all of her life. Well, you know, since she was about 40. I want to die with my gallbladder in place. And maybe I'll eat something very poor and I'll develop gallstones. And if I do, I want this kidney and gallstone removal program, which will remove those in 2 days. Now, the surgery is going to take longer than 2 days. I mean, by the time you go to the doctor and they diagnose you and they give you x-rays and they go through all this rigmarole and one thing and another, you can't get that done in 2 days and get the surgery done. It's going to take a month to get all the tests. See, those tests make a lot of money. And they're not going to operate on you, cut your gallbladder out, until they get all the tests first. So they want to make $20,000-$30,000, you know, off this gallbladder thingy over here. The surgery itself is maybe worth $6,000-$10,000, but they want to get another $6,000-$10,000 worth of tests in. So if you'll go to page 41, hundreds cured of kidney and gallstones in just 2 days, you can get rid of the gallstones or the kidney stones in less time and for practically no money. I mean, I don't think this recipe here in 2 days is going to cost you $10. I don't think. All right, I got to leave it right about here. Remember, this book again is called Miracle Food Cures from the Bible by Reese Dubin, R-E-E-S-E-D-U-B-I-N. Miracle Food Cures from the Bible. It's the book that we're reviewing this week. And I've just given you probably 10 times more information, dollar-saving information, in the first program than the book's going to cost. If it costs you $100, it's dirt cheap. Hey, let me remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, if you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and good night, friends.